Welcome to Day to Jesus the Healer. We are so glad you're here. And I tell you what, we got a treat for you today. On the set with me, Brother Richard Roberts, all the way from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Thank you for being here. We nabbed him. He's coming to preach in our church and in the Bible school. And he graciously agreed to be on set with us today. So thank you for coming.
I'm delighted to be here with you.
I tell you what, this man has spent more time on the air than anybody I know. What, from the 60s you started?
I started with my dad in 1969. Wow. I've been on television every week. And for 14 years, Lindsay and I did live television daily.
So you started out weekly.
Yeah, I've done 15, 20,000 TV shows.
So you see, he's got more airtime.
I'm older than dirt, you know.
Well, dirt's looking mighty good right now.
It's makeup. Morgan worked me over.
In the 1950s, your dad pioneered any church services on television.
Yes, he did.
And it was a weekly broadcast of tent crusades, him preaching.
Yes.
And then, so this is like TV royalty, Christian television royalty sitting here.
I was in so many of those crusades, Pastor Nancy, as I grew up. And I learned a great deal about the healing ministry sitting, watching, listening, and my father would oftentimes point me out in the audience, say, come up here and have me stand by him while he prayed for the sick. Yeah. And I did not realize that God was schooling me for the healing ministry.
For where you were headed.
Yeah, I didn't know that in those days.
But the thing I so value and appreciate about you is having the spiritual heritage that you have is you honored it. Yes. You embraced it. It's not as though you thought that you had to go find your own path. You just flowed and went further in the path that was set by your dad. Yes. So when you sat there and you watched those tent crusades, and he ministered to him to where he would have the sick just line, walk in a line, and he would sit in a chair and minister to them.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that format. Why did that work for him?
Well, he preached. He couldn't preach as long as he normally preached because the program was only 30 minutes. So he had to preach fairly short messages, maybe 12 or 14 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then he would have that is for television.
Yes.
On nights that he was televising.
Right.
And then he would have the people line up. People had to come to an afternoon service to get a prayer card. Okay. And you had to have a prayer card to get into the prayer line at night.
Yeah.
And it was not unusual to have 5,000 people there in the afternoons.
Wow.
To get a prayer card to get in the prayer line that night. Yeah. Yeah. And he would have them come up in lines, and his associate, Brother DeWeese, would take the prayer card and read it to my dad or hand it to my dad. Mm-hmm. And so my dad would know what the need was.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, he was seated on a little stage that had a thrust on it, and they would come by and he would lay hands on them, and they would film. They were not videotaping like we do today.
Yeah.
They're 16-millimeter film in those days. And would capture that, and you see the miracles. Really, what he did was he gave America a front row seat to miracles.
Yes. Amazing. Amazing.
And I grew up in that atmosphere all over America, all over the world, not having any idea that the day would come when God would use me in that role.
And see, the amazing thing, of course, your dad was one of the generals in that healing revival. There was a healing revival on in America, 1947 to 1958. You are one of the few people with a front row or that direct link to that healing revival. On one hand, you can count the number of people.
Well, there are just
a few of us
that are left. I think of LaDonna Osborne, Brother Osborne's daughter.
Osborne,
I think of Ken Hagen Jr., Brother Hagen's son. I think of Jack Coe Jr., he's still living.
Yes.
And I think of Joan Hunter, who's a daughter of Charles and Francis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But there aren't, I can't, right off the top of my head, I can't think of any others who grew up in that ministry, in that era, that are still breathing.
Well, and you talked about that in your dad's tent crusades, because phenomenal results.
Oh, you never knew when an eye was going to be healed, somebody's going to be healed of deafness, some cripple's going to take off running. You never knew. You were on the edge of your seat all the time.
Did you see a pattern of certain conditions that were primarily healed under your dad's
ministry? No, it was a cross-section of everything you can imagine.
Mm.
And the most amazing thing that most people didn't know was before the prayer line, before he prayed for the sick, while the prayer line was being assembled, he would go to an auxiliary tent that was outside. Nobody knew about that.
Uh-huh.
In that tent, were people, what was like the Pool of Bethesda? Mm. The sick, those who could not walk, those who had been carried from hospitals, those mm-hmm. who were on hospital gurneys, those mm-hmm. who were too sick with cancer to come into the line, yeah. he would go and pray for them first wow. before wow. the main prayer line. So of course, I would always go with him on that.
So he would preach first and then...
give an invitation for people to accept uh-huh. Christ
and go
send
to
them
tent.
To what we call the salvation tent, yeah. where the pastors would meet with them.
Gotcha.
And then when the prayer line was being assembled, he would go to what we call the invalid tent mm-hmm. for people who were too sick to stand in line. And he had a speaker system. There no video monitors, just a speaker system so they could hear the message. Mm-hmm. Then he would go and lay hands on every one of them. Of course, whenever I could, I'd go with him. And walking through the sickest people you could possibly imagine. Mm-hmm. It's like being at the Pool of Bethesda.
Yeah, yeah. That tent that he preached in, the main tent, how many did that seat?
The last one he had seated 12,000.
And you said... was it the last night of every crusade, anyone who had not been ministered to
yes.
that wanted to be ministered to? Talk about that night.
If you had a prayer card and you had not been prayed for, then he would lay hands on everyone who had not yet been prayed for in the last service, which was the Sunday afternoon service.
And about how many?
Well, that could be anywhere from 3,000 to 10,000.
That he would lay hands on.
And I walked with him so many times carrying his coat, because he would sweat through his clothing, especially sure. yeah. out in the summer outdoors under a tent. It was mm-hmm. hotter under the tent than it was outside the tent. Yeah. And I remember in the late 50s and early 60s, many times he'd lay hands on 7,000 to 10,000 in an afternoon, walking the lines. Now, he did not have them come before him on the last day like he did during the other part of the crusade, but instead he had string that was strung, if you might say it that way, from mm-hmm. tent pole to tent pole.
Yes.
And people would line up under the string,
wow.
and he would walk the lines
he
and lay hands on
the
them. And sometimes it took 2 hours, 3 hours wow. to lay hands on that many people.
And of course, he couldn't stop for testimony in that setting.
No. He just kept walking. He never stopped. He just kept walking, laying hands on them, and miracles were happening, but he was busy praying for everybody else.
Yeah.
It was amazing, and half the time we had to carry him to the car because yeah. it so physically exhausted him.
Yeah.
Yes. Walking, praying for people. I remember in Trenton, New Jersey in the late 50s, we counted 9,000 that they laid hands on, and he couldn't stand up when he finished. Right. We had to physically pick him up and carry him to the car and took him to the hotel. My mother put him to bed for 2 days because he yeah. just wiped him out.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about maybe some of the most notable miracles, whether you might have seen it, you might have been there, or maybe not, out of your dad's ministry that stands out the most.
There was a little boy named Willie Phelps who came into the service in Roanoke, Virginia. He couldn't get in with his family. The building was filled. It was in the winter, and we were in an auditorium, not the tent. And his mother had him crawl through the crowd in the door so he could get in mm-hmm. and said to him, go find a place to sit down. Brother Roberts will find you.
Wow. Wow.
And
wow.
There was a little room back behind the platform, and he found that room and sat in it. And when the service was over, we walked down the hallway, and my dad saw him in the room. And curiosity got to him. He turned around and said, son, what are you doing in here? He said, I'm waiting for Brother Roberts.
So he didn't know what he looked like.
He said, why? He said, I'm supposed to be healed today.
Wow. I like that. I'm supposed to be healed today.
And my dad said, well, what's your name? Willie Phelps. Well, I'm Brother Roberts. He said, you are? He said, Brother Roberts, I'm supposed to be healed.
Wow.
And my dad said, well, son, I've laid hands on thousands. I'm pretty tired. He said, well, I don't know about that. I just know I'm supposed to be healed today. And my dad said, well, Willie, if you'll pray with me and believe, we'll expect a miracle.
Wow.
Willie had metal braces on his legs. Mm-hmm. One leg was shorter than the other, mm-hmm. and he couldn't walk without those braces that were attached to his shoes, and he had crutches.
Yeah.
His mother, we found out later, had bought him a new pair of shoes, and he had declared that when he was healed, he was going to go to school the next day in a new pair of shoes with mm-hmm. no crutches mm-hmm. and no braces on his legs.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad prayed for him and left. Mm-hmm. And we didn't find out till later. The next morning, he said, Mother, put the new shoes on me. I'm going to walk across the room, which he did, and went to school without his crutches, without
wow.
his braces.
Wow.
Broke up the entire school.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
the teacher had him come before the class and share the testimony. And afterwards, she said, it must have cost a lot. Yes. And he said, no, ma'am, it didn't cost anything. Jesus did it. Wow. And we stayed in touch with Willie for many, many years. He passed away some years ago, but but we stayed in touch for years, and he was still healed.
Praise the Lord.
That's just one of hundreds, I can tell you.
Can you imagine? Yeah, because of thousands and thousands and thousands he ministered to.
I remember one time, there were a number of little deaf children that were coming into the prayer line. It was unusual. Mm-hmm. And three or four a night, little deaf children, every time God healed them, they get their hearing back. Mm-hmm. And my dad couldn't figure out where all these little deaf children were coming from. Mm-hmm. Turns out that just down the road a few miles, there was a school for the deaf. And the headmaster was bringing all the little children, three or four a time, and every one of those little children got healed. Must have been 20 or 30 of them. All of them, every one of them got healed. It was amazing to watch.
Yeah. And that still belongs to us.
That's right.
Still belongs to us.
He's the same yesterday, today, forever. Yeah. What he did, he's still doing.
Yeah. You talked, I've heard you talking in the past, talking about was it a little boy brought in a car? And they asked for, and it might have been a little girl, but I'm thinking it was a boy. And I don't know if he had mental problems or what. And do you know what I'm referring to?
I think you're talking about a little demon-possessed girl.
Yes, okay.
She was a teenage girl. Mm-hmm. And when we came out of the service, they said, Brother Roberts, there's a young girl in the car. We can't bring her in to the service. She's too violent.
How old would she have been?
I would have guessed her to be maybe 10 or 12. Mm. And we said, we have her in a car over here. And we have the windows rolled down a little bit so she gets some air. It was in the summer. It was mm-hmm. hot. And I remember as we walked over to pray, a man's voice came out of the girl. Mm-hmm. It raised the hair on the back of your neck, I'm telling you. And the voice said, here he comes. Don't let him get his hands on you, because if he does, he will cast us out.
Wow.
Now, at that point, you either get your faith moving or you start running. And my dad got into the car with the girl. He was fearless. Yeah. He got into the car with her and mm-hmm. touched her and commanded those spirits to come out. Call them by name.
Mm. Wow.
Call them by name out. And when it was over, she kept saying, I'm free.
Wow.
I'm free.
Amen.
I'm free.
Amen.
I saw a lot of that. I saw them chain a young teenager to a tent pole because he was so violent. And when the Lord delivered him, through my dad's prayers, he threw his arms around my dad's legs and said, just let me travel with you.
Oh, wow.
Let me go with you.
Sure. Because that represented freedom for him to stay.
I remember it like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Because there was that healing anointing in your dad's hand.
Well, and the Lord had said to him in his early ministry, I'll give you the name and number of the demons that are in people, mm-hmm. and you'll be able to call them out by name.
Mm-hmm.
And few people have ever had that gifting from God.
Yeah.
But he did.
Yeah, which is a working of the Spirit of God. And you need that. You don't just randomly.
It's the discerning of spirits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if he knew their name and number.
Yeah.
And when the demon possessed would show up, and they came in all the time because, you know, flies are attracted to the light.
Right.
Bugs are attracted to the light. So he would say to the people in the crowd, this is very serious. Put your hand on the back of the chair, release your faith, pray in the Spirit, mm-hmm. because when this spirit comes out, it's going to want to go somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I've got to bind it and cast it mm-hmm. to the uninhabited places of the earth before it goes into someone else, because spirits want to, they can only do something if they inhabit somebody.
Right.
And sometimes when those spirits came out screaming, it scared the living daylights out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you got to pray and be with me in this. And I saw that so many times.
Yeah.
But he would always bind them. He said, you can't just cast a spirit out. You have to bind the spirit and you have to command it to go to the uninhabited places of the earth, or else it will inhabit somebody else.
And you only learn that, you learn it through the word, but you learn it through the doing and the experience.
Remember, the Spirit said to Jesus, cast us into the pigs.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So we have something to inhabit.
To experience.
Yeah. And of course, then they committed suicide. You
right.
know?
Right.
And that's what the devil is after.
Right. Your dad, when he talked to you about your ministry, He described yours, of course, carrying on the healing ministry, yes. but with just a bit of a difference. Talk to us
yes,
about that.
He said that my ministry would be a word of knowledge ministry. It would not be a laying on of hands ministry primarily. Uh-huh. Not that I would not lay hands on people
sure.
at times, but that it would be a word of knowledge ministry. And he said the one thing that I would not face that he faced is that sometimes in services there were too many for him to touch.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he said, you won't face that, meaning me, mm-hmm. Because the word of knowledge will be manifested and you'll be able to pray for a mass crowd, mm-hmm. which he said he was never able to do because the word of knowledge did not flow through him.
Yeah.
He operated through the gifts of healing. Particularly through the laying on of hands. The sign that he had was that the power of God would come down his right arm into his hand,
mm-hmm.
and he felt this vibration in his hand,
mm-hmm.
and he wouldn't preach or pray for people until he felt that.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you won't have to face that. You'll have the operation of the word of knowledge, and you'll speak,
yes.
and people will be healed.
Yes.
He said, your voice will have an authority that will carry.
Yes.
And when you speak it out,
yes.
people will be healed.
Yes. And you've gone, not, of course, you travel here in the United States, but nationwide with that healing anointing. You, those crusades, mm-hmm. calling it out, because you couldn't, of course, couldn't lay hands on all the people
no.
that show up.
No, not when you have 50, 75, 100,000 people a night, which is what I've had overseas many, many times.
Yeah.
But you can operate through the word of knowledge and pray and see
mm-hmm.
and see hundreds and thousands healed
mm-hmm.
by one word of knowledge.
Yeah.
I remember in Kenya, I gave a word of knowledge and we counted 4,000 people that came forward to give testimony
wow.
and received healing when I gave one word of knowledge.
Wow.
That was the last night. We had 200,000 in the last service
yeah.
by police estimate.
Yeah.
And just one word of knowledge produced 4,000 healings.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Praise God for the Holy Ghost. Not only that, your dad, you were under his ministry. He imparted to you just by being in those services, you received something. But you also got to be around Catherine Kuhlman. Talk to me a little bit about that time.
Catherine was possibly the most anointed woman of God that I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
I first met her in Washington, D.C. at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Convention back in the mid-1960s, and she and my father had been friends over the years. And she came to our home in Tulsa and spent several days, and I really got to know her. And she took me under her wing,
mm-hmm.
and she taught me about the operation of the word of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Most of what I know about the laying on of hands, I learned through my father's ministry.
Yes.
Most of what I learned about the word of knowledge and the gifts of the Spirit particularly came by the tutelage of Catherine Kuhlman.
Mm-hmm.
And I traveled with her. I was numerous times on her television program and in her services. Those were days before I was in the healing ministry. I was just singing,
mm-hmm.
and she would call me to come and sing. And Dino would play the
mm-hmm.
piano, and
mm-hmm.
Jimmy McDonald would sing, and he and I would sing together, and then she would preach a short message and pray for the sick. And so for several years, I was with her a great deal, and I learned so much from her.
Well, one of the things, and we were talking about it yesterday before church, is that these moves of the Spirit, these flows of the Spirit, these demonstrations, you've got to be around it to learn it. It's something that's not just taught, but it's caught by
that's
being
right.
in the atmosphere of that.
That's right. And that anointing is very, very present today.
Yes.
And for the benefit of those of you that are watching on Victory, I know the anointing when I see it. I know the anointing when I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I know when it's there, and I know when it's not there.
Mm-hmm.
And today, you are under the anointing of a powerful woman of God who has that anointing.
Yes.
Pastor Nancy has a Catherine Kuhlman type anointing. I don't know if anybody's ever said that to her or not, but I'm saying it to you as a viewer, and I'm saying that to you today. You have that same anointing. Just as I watched the opening of your program today, the Lord showed me that anointing that's on your life.
Mm.
You have that. And that's not something that you treasure. That's something that you impart.
Right, right.
And that's what you're doing. That's why I'm so glad that you are doing television, and you're especially on Victory, and you're doing it daily.
Wow.
Thank God. And thank God you're doing it, and I'm not. Because I have done it.
You know, Dr. Summerall, Dr. Lester Summerall
yes.
made a general statement in speaking. He said, generally speaking, he said, in a man's life from 0 to 30, he's learning,
mm-hmm.
taking it in. From 30 to 60, he's applying what he learned. From 60 to 90, he's imparting it, yes, to the next generation. Talk to me about what God said to you about that.
Well, that's what I'm doing now. My father prophesied over me before he died and said when I got into my late 60s, I would become a minister to ministers. Mm-hmm. And I would impart on healing, the Holy Spirit, and seed faith. Mm-hmm. Now, those are the three things that shaped his life and have shaped my life.
Yes.
And when I was about 67, that calling was evident in my life. Mm-hmm. And I began a different type of ministry. The crusade days came to an end. Those crusades are for younger men and younger women. Mm-hmm. And I began traveling nations around the earth, particularly ministering to pastors and leaders, teaching them about the healing ministry, how to pray for the sick, mm-hmm, giving them the methods, how to lay hands on people, how to operate by speaking the word, how to use prayer cloths, how to use anointing oil, how to pray as James taught us, praying one for another that you may be healed.
Yeah.
And then teaching them about the benefit of praying in tongues, mm-hmm, and praying back with your understanding as Paul taught us.
Yeah, interpreting
and,
that back.
And not just praying when you're happy or when you're sad. Because most of life is not on the mountaintop or on the valley. Yes. Most of the life is in here.
Right. Sure.
And praying in tongues and then praying with the understanding. Mm-hmm. And explaining the difference to people between praying in tongues, which is your daily devotional prayer language, and the operation of the gift of tongues, which is different.
Right.
You can't operate with the gift of tongues unless the Lord manifests it.
Right.
But every Christian can pray in tongues every day, anytime they want.
Mm-hmm.
And they can interpret. And when they interpret, God, mm-hmm, gives them ideas and concepts and insights,
yeah,
and new ways of doing things like never before. Yeah. So you get information.
Yeah.
And then the principles of sowing and reaping. God said as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest.
Yes.
Everything comes from a seed.
Uh-huh.
Our love, our time, our money, our prayers,
so
our smiles,
good,
our compassion, everything about us is a seed. I've just come, before making this program, I've just come from Cameroon in Africa,
yes,
where I had 2,000 pastors for 3 days from, mm-hmm, 14 French-speaking African nations.
Mm-hmm.
And I poured into them healing, Holy Spirit, and seed faith.
Yes.
Many of them had never ever prayed for the sick before because,
wow,
they didn't know they could.
Yeah. Yeah.
Many of them,
yes,
had never prayed in tongues or interpreted back when they did pray in tongues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many,
mm-hmm,
of them did not understand the principles of sowing and reaping. I remember the first time I went to Africa was in the early 1980s, and the pastors came to me and said, don't ask the people for an offering.
Mm.
And I said, why? And they said, because they're poor. They have nothing.
Mm.
And I said, that's the reason why they,
yes,
need to sow.
Yeah.
They need to sow to get out of that poverty mentality.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, it's not the size of the gift. It's the intent of your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Even if they just give a penny. Remember the little woman in the Bible who gave a penny.
Right.
Jesus,
right,
said, she's given more than them all.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Because she gave out of her need.
Mm-hmm.
They need to sow. And,
yeah,
after they got that teaching, they said, Brother Roberts, will you please raise an offering tonight?
And
I said, look, I'm not taking the money home. It's staying in,
yeah,
the nation here. It's,
right,
not. Paul said, not that I desire a gift.
Right.
But I desire fruit that may
abound
to your gift.
Yes.
And the only way you're ever going to get a harvest is by planting seed.
Right.
Now, you can call it any way you want,
yes,
but that's the only way. It isn't,
yes,
going to happen by your imagination. It isn't going to happen because you will it in just,
right,
in your mind. It's going to happen because you put the seed in the ground.
Right.
And when you put the,
Lord,
seed in the,
yes,
ground, something supernatural happens.
Yes.
It's going to grow. It'll grow right through concrete.
Yes. Amen. We've got about a minute left. People watching. People have needs. People need healing today. Would you minister to them?
Well, there's no distance in prayer.
Yes.
He's right here where I am, and he's right there where you are.
Yes.
In the authority of the name of Jesus, I come against every satanic attack of the devil.
Praise
you
God.
Foul, tormenting,
yes,
devil. You take your hands off God's,
yes,
property.
Yes.
And I send the word of God to you right now.
Yes.
According to Psalm 107, verse 20, which says he sent his word and healed them and delivered them,
yes,
from their destructions. I send that word to you in Jesus' name. Be healed and made whole. Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
So what does the viewer do? You say, I receive it.
I receive it.
I receive it. I receive it. And you receive with your words. You release your faith with your words and say, thank God it's mine now. Hallelujah. Brother Richard, thank you. It's a highlight for
thank
me.
Thank you.
And I want to remind you, until next time, remember, Jesus is the healer. God bless you.
What or who is your primary source for what you need in your life? Your job? Your income? Your family or friends? But what happens if suddenly they go away? In Richard's new book, The Ultimate Source, you'll learn how you can seek God for your total supply. God is your source, and He wants to see your life blessed and overflowing with His goodness. Request your copy today. The Ultimate Source by Richard Roberts. Available for your best seed faith gift. Go to richardroberts.org/bookstore.